Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, John Karsibayev.
Hey, I'm Jan. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Candidately. I'm super excited to be here today, and thanks so much, John, for having me.
Yeah, Jan, thanks so much for making time joining us on the Ivy Podcast. I understand you're based in Portugal for a short period of time, which is super exciting to be able to conduct these, you know, on a global scale. Before we dive in and talk a little bit about, you know, your current company, what you're building, give us a thumbnail version of your career to date.
For sure. Thank you so much, John. Basically, my career started a couple of years back, actually not in staffing at all. My currently company is building technology for staffing, but I originally started in hospitality and tourism. I worked there for like roughly 10 years. I come from Austria, so I grew up in Vienna. And after some time working in the industry, we actually came across the need for a much, much better and more modern staffing business. So my co-founders and I started a new staffing company in Austria based on the premise to build a better experience for the candidate and for the client and overall a better brand. And actually after some time, in 2016, when we started, we had a year in, we realized that there is a much, much bigger need in the market to build technology for not only ourselves, but actually for all staffing companies. So that's where we actually stopped doing our existing staffing business and moved the entire company and ourselves basically overnight to the US. And we were super lucky to join Y Combinator in 2017, which is the startup accelerator famous for investments in Airbnb and Stripe and many other very big companies. So we had a couple attempts to build products for the staffing and recruiting market, and actually recently launched our newest product, which is called Candidately. We think that this is going to massively change the staffing and recruiting markets. Candidately, essentially, in one sentence, is the digital storefront for staffing and recruiting companies. You can think about it as a Shopify for the staffing industry. So we truly believe that the future of traditional staffing and recruiting will look much different in the next couple of years. And we would, you know, like, and we aspire to help staffing and recruiting companies with great technology to run their business much, much more effective and better in the next couple of years.
Wow, that's super exciting. And thanks for that overview in the background. Congrats on all the success. So tell us a little bit more about, you know, Candidately, what problem are you guys solving, and how did that specific idea or need, you know, came about for you to actually decide to build something like that?
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, what I'm really excited about in general is the trend of traditional industries becoming digital businesses. You can see that all over the place with Shopify helping traditional merchants become online stores, in real estate where Compass or Opendoor are changing the way how people buy apartments and houses. You can see that with OpenTable or Toast in the restaurant industry, or even in insurance with WeFox. So we've seen those changes over the last 10 years in other industries. And we think that staffing is about to have the same trajectory over the next 10 years. When you look at the traditional staffing and recruiting business today, the majority of the market is pretty much run via email. So over $250 billion of staffing spent internationally is transacted through sending candidates as an attachment in an email. And that's pretty much the experience for the customer. If you look at 10,000 staffing and recruiting agency websites, pretty much the only thing you will find is a request form. So I usually compare that, with the real estate industry. If you are a buyer and if you go to a broker's website and if they don't have their apartments or houses online that you can look at, most likely you will not request a catalog to get a call back. So you want to have something tangible to get in touch with the seller. And this is exactly what we see here today in staffing. So what we are solving with Candidately is essentially pretty much very simple what Shopify has done for merchants. We are helping staffing and recruiting businesses be more accessible online and building a digital storefront for them. And the first use case for us today is candidate presentation. On a daily basis, millions of candidates are presented and sent by staffing and recruiting companies to their clients via email. And we are replacing that with a digital link. So as a staffing company, instead of using a very manual email-based process, you suddenly become a sort of online business by taking the existing process that you have done before pretty much manually into a digital format. That's the first use case, obviously, but we aspire to essentially bring staffing recruiting companies overall online. So when you look at the market where Upwork and Fiverr is going, we think that the traditional staffing business is going in a very similar direction. And we want to be that technology that will help the traditional staffing and recruiting businesses basically compete with the Fiverrs and Upworks of the world.
Yeah, that's super exciting, and definitely can see the, you know, the gap and the problem that's being solved through your platform because of the, you know, the war for talent out there, the war on retention and the overall candidate experience. I think it's, there's a lot of opportunity for improvement. So obviously you've been in the staffing recruiting in this space. I'm sure you've been studying the industry trends and where the market is going. Talk to us a little bit about what are some of the most exciting trends that you're observing that's, you know, perhaps you've been researching, looking to invest in further.
Absolutely. So I think there is a couple of trends that we currently see, and I'm, you know, also running those sessions that we called World Staffing Sessions, where we usually invite interesting people from the industry. And we recently had Maurice Fuller, who is an expert about digitalization and staffing. And he talks about a few things, and which I'm a firm believer in. And I think those are going to change the staffing market. One is automations. So actually yesterday or a couple of days ago, the Bullhorn conference was on, and everything was everybody was talking about automation. So I think staffing companies using automation, specifically with companies and tools like Herefish to automate mundane processes on their daily basis, will be a huge shift to move from a very manual and labor-based process to have a lot of things internally automated. I think what is going to be very big, and in regards to international employment, and I think this is where you guys are working on, is back office employer of record in international employment and compliance. So I think, you know, as a staffing company, the next couple of years, you might have a client that requires you to hire somebody overseas or in a different country, and you don't have a local entity there. So employing a person there is pretty much very cumbersome unless you have an automated way to do so. So I'm a big fan of what you guys are doing at MyBasePay, because I think this is going to be a huge, huge shift in how staffing companies will operate. And then obviously anything around skill tests, interviews, and payments. You can see companies like Quill coming up that will provide you with instant payments. So the employer and the staffing company, as well as the candidate, does not have to wait for their money to be paid in 30 or 60 days. They basically get their checks instantly. So I see those couple of things like automations, the back office, the payments, and obviously for us, what we see as a digital storefront with Candidately, the four major things that in the next couple of years will basically drive the industry towards more automation and a better experience for candidates, clients, and overall the recruiter and agency itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are definitely interesting trends, especially, you know, coming out of pandemic and now with companies shifting and trying to figure out ways to structure the operations, whether the hybrid model, fully remote, and or try to bring everybody on site. I think it's going to shape, you know, even further trends in that space, especially when it comes to hiring, onboarding, and retention. So in this space, obviously, there's a lot of room for innovation, a lot of room for improvement. Innovation, it's a prevalent topic. We cover that a lot on that podcast with a lot of, you know, thought leaders and other executives. Share with us your thoughts or overall on innovation. How do you go about building and fostering such environment? And maybe how does that translate to an experience for your end users, your customers?
Got it. So I think there is, I see it in that way. So fostering innovation is usually around giving people the ability to look at the business from a different angle. You know, if you look at most industries, leaders after some time become blind from working at their own business. So they have this like tunnel view where they only execute what they know and they don't look left and they don't look right. So I think it's super important to bring in the new generation to the table. Take a step back, listen, and take a look at what the business looks like from the other side of the street. So this is what I think is super important for incumbent players to foster culture and the culture of innovation, to bring in younger and the younger generation basically to make the decisions and give them the freedom to do so. And this will essentially make the entire process of innovation, could have been staffing or recruiting or also other industries, much, much faster and better. You know, we could see it even internally for us, right? When we hire people and we hire people that have nothing to do with staffing or recruiting. And I have a good example with one of our employees that actually used to run the World Staffing Summit, which is a big conference that we organize each year. He had nothing to do with the industry, but we basically gave him the freedom to explore and do the conference and the entire process on his own and, you know, look at it from a different angle. And if within 3 months, you know, he figured it out because he had the freedom to do so. And I think this is super important when you look at, you know, any, you know, angle of the business, looking and taking a step back, you know, looking at what the market is doing and not constantly doing the same thing that you used to do over the last 5 to 10 years. So that's you know, my small take on you know, fostering innovation overall.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, it's a unique space, and it's interesting to observe how the companies of various size approach the overall concept of innovation. So I'm sure we can probably spend the rest of the episode talking about this. But overall, the concept, you know, the trend of future of work has been, you know, growing pretty tremendously in the last couple of years, especially for obvious reasons. So, you know, the overall contingent workforce, freelance, gig workers, ability to collaborate and work virtually from anywhere in the world, things like that. Just talk to us a little bit about your perspective on future of work.
Look, John, I think it's pretty obvious. I know I'm currently in Portugal, you know, with my MacBook Air and just a mic, you know, and we are hosting this podcast, and I run my business entirely in the US from sitting here in Portugal. My team is distributed in 10 countries and it works. Obviously, we started in that setup a couple of years back already as a remote team. But I think, you know, over the last year, 1.5 years, COVID has shown us that we don't need the morning commute to the office or the afternoon commute home. And it's basically helping us to be more productive in places that previously maybe seemed weird for us to work from. So I think when I talk to founders that start companies today, when I speak to my fellow Y Combinator, you know, founders that have just, you know, graduated from the program that has just started their business, none of them are thinking about, you know, offices, right? Nobody is leasing an office. Nobody is thinking about office locations. I think everything will become a remote environment. And I know that there is companies that still have to have, you know, people on site, or there's different cultures. But overall, I think the next 5 to 10 years will show us that we can get work done from anywhere in the world. And it will just, you know, help us to, you know, be more productive and also find the right talent wherever they are, right? So we can hire people, you know, based on skills, and we don't have to hire them based on location and their time to come to the office.
Right. No, absolutely. I think it's, you know, I'm excited about, you know, at least the next several quarters to see, you know, especially with companies, they're seeking for ways to, you know, for that ability to scale up or down in a very efficient manner. And I think they'll, you know, future of work really contributes to the overall, you know, developing that ecosystem to be able to handle that in a very efficient manner. So it's going to be interesting to observe how a lot of organizations embrace that. So definitely thanks for the kind of some of the thoughts around that. From your standpoint, when it comes to, interviewing. It's an area that's, I'm yet to see anybody be really good at that. It's a combination of art and a science. It's an opportunity to continuously improve because, I talk to hiring managers, executives on one side. I also get exposure to the candidates and job seekers, and it's always different perspectives. What are your thoughts on strategies to create an efficient process when it comes to interviewing? With you dealing with both sides as well, I would imagine you have a lot of kind of insights into that process. What have you seen that works better than the other side? Just share some thoughts around that.
Sure. And I think, that's also something that we probably discussed for hours. But one thing that I can share and I see work really well for us and for, a couple other companies that I'm friendly with or I'm in conversation with is preparing the candidate as good as possible for the steps that are coming up. So I think this is something that companies haven't done really well in the past, but through now remote work, you can see, companies basically summarizing their entire interviewing and onboarding and hiring process on a Notion page with videos, with step-by-step processes, what's going to happen in the interview process, what are you going to be asked, what do you need to prepare, what asynchronous documents can you prepare for us before we even start the interview. So everything becomes more efficient and also basically prepares the candidate. I think then you'll have as a candidate a much, much better understanding how the team works, how the company culture looks like when you get that preparation up front. So I really like that, myself for our hiring process, we have, a documented Notion page with everything around company culture, the questions, we have documents that the candidates might need to even prepare up front and do a presentation and share that with us and basically show us also which type of tools they are using and how they are using them so we can get comfortable. A, in, are they familiar with working, in that environment? And B, are they also really good in, written and verbal communication, be it recording a Loom video or writing a small paragraph? Because I think, this is super important. The majority of our team, I haven't met in person unless we did like a yearly sort of get together, but a couple of employees, we've been working with each other for the last 2.5 years, and I've only seen them on Zoom. So I think it's super important to basically in the interviewing and hiring process, making sure that nowadays you have that preparation and prepare the candidate for what's coming up and how you work, maybe hybrid or remote, but that preparation up front for the candidate, I've seen working really, really well, at least for us. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. I think it's, with interviews, it's always interesting dynamic to observe how, there's one book that I use the lessons from that when it comes to interviewing. It's by Ben Horowitz, The Hard Thing About the Hard Things. And he talks in there about the concept of, hiring for strength versus the lack of weakness. And I observe that a lot in a lot of the interviews, even that I have been, where the focus is so much on how much, what are the weaknesses that I can tolerate in that candidate and making the decision from there, which I think is a trap that a lot of hiring managers fall into. And also kind of what you were talking about, in a sense, creating that environment of a two-way street where a candidate also gets an opportunity to ask the right questions for the hiring manager. I think it's of super importance. So definitely thank you for sharing some of those insights. So with you being, trying to stay ahead of the curve on the industry trends, observing where the markets are going, share with us your content diet. What are some of the sources that you consume on a daily basis that really help you stay ahead of the curve? And then I want to, the other portion I want to ask about the books.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as you mentioned already, Andreessen Horowitz, I'm reading a lot of blog articles and a lot of podcasts from, I would say, the Silicon Valley, environment and ecosystem. I have a couple of my favorites. One is from NFX, which is pushing out almost every week, a really good sort of essay or podcast, as well as a summary of best practices, usually, you know, right from the founders that have experienced, you know, learnings. That's what I read a lot. So I actually have a little folder on my mailbox where anytime the newsletter comes in, I mark that as a reading list. And I usually come back to that on the weekend and read up on what's happened last week. So that's basically on the, I would say, like the founder part of it. On the other side, you know, I'm super interested in, you know, the industry that I'm in, which is staffing and recruiting. So typically I would have my daily or weekly dose of staffing industry analysts and a couple of other blog posts that are essentially being produced by people from the industry to stay up to date and ahead of the curve on what's happening overall in staffing and recruiting worldwide. And then, yeah, other things like, you know, I'm listening to podcasts on a daily basis. Typically, I have my 2 to 3 podcasts in the morning around different topics, obviously some politics and news in the world. But yeah, I could say that I think the Wall Street Journal Tech News Briefing is a really good one. I would highly recommend that. And yeah, that's pretty much my dose of news.
No, definitely very good resources. Thank you for sharing that for all listeners. We'll make those available in the show notes. Last but not least, what are you currently reading in terms of a book, and which book that you always recommend to others, and why is that?
So I usually read a couple books simultaneously, bits and pieces, to basically keep myself, you know, up to date and learn. I'm just finishing up actually Bob Iger's book, Disney CEO, about you know, the learnings he had in running the company. And I think it is super fascinating to learn and read about his techniques. So that's the one that I've been reading right now. You know, I'm basically super excited about any leadership book, I would say, where I can learn the techniques from very successful leaders myself. But yeah, I would highly recommend Bob Iger's book at this moment.
That's great. Definitely a great recommendation. I would recommend his masterclass.
He did something. Watch that as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, it was pretty fascinating. Just, you know, to your point, how the, you know, the build the overall culture of creativity and innovation. I think there's a lot of lessons to be taken away from that.
Yeah, and when you mentioned masterclass, I think that's also one of the things that I actually subscribe to. I must say I haven't watched a lot recently. I have this always on the back burner. I try to find some time to do it, but I actually like it because there is not only the, you know, leadership aspect and the business aspect, but you can also dive into topics that are maybe what I'm not familiar with at all, which is a little bit inspiring and takes off the mind from, you know, the daily business to, you know, figure out how Morgan Freeman is, teaching acting or something like that, which is super fascinating to me as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe you could teach a masterclass on how to build a platform for candidates. I think it's going to be definitely, you know, a lot of interest there. Jan, I can't thank you enough for your time today. Very short and insightful conversation. You were very generous with some of your advice and some of the insights that you've shared. Definitely go and stay in touch with you, because we're in very similar space, a lot of synergies, a lot of opportunities to collaborate. And just like with every guest, I love revisiting the conversation in about a year in the form of a follow-up podcast episode, where we will look at the conversation from a year ago, see what everything we've discussed and if everything still makes sense.
For sure, John. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure, and I'm excited to, you know, stay in touch and continue the conversation. And yeah, speak in a year from now.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.